B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, October 16th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Games Radar has made a list of the 20 scariest games of all time. We're going to see how right they got it. Plus, we're going to sit down and get to know Mark Cooper, Player One. He's the winner of the Mag West Cypher, and he's here today to share some music from his brand new EP, Ranger Raps. That's coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about Riot. Riot recently had their 10-year anniversary celebration stream, and boy, did they come out swinging.
We got to make this very, very clear, okay? Riot, I don't know where they got the plums on them, but they got them. Riot has declared war on the entire modern gaming industry.
I'd be inclined to agree with that statement.
And Riot versus everybody.
It really is. I saw a tweet that said, imagine if Apple had one iPhone, that was the one phone they had. They improved on it, but that was the one phone they had. And then all of a sudden, after 10 years, they unleashed everything that Apple has now.
So to explain to some of our listeners why this is significant, because for the better part of 10 years, while Riot Games has been a company, they have technically really only been Riot Game.
Yes, they were.
Because they only had League of Legends. That was the only game that they had in their roster. And yes, they were great at updating it, and they made one of the largest esports scenes on the planet out of it, but that speaking objectively, that was their only game.
No, you're absolutely correct.
Well, they technically just ripped off Dota.
Well, so now they've come
shots fired
all the way around, and they have now created, they've announced rather, basically, what is it, four new games?
So they've got four new, completely new games, and they have their one game that is also being ported to mobile and console.
So the four new games, one is a fighting game.
That's right, which we did get confirmation of the fighting game back in
that was
EVO, in the summertime.
And we've also got like a shooter-based game.
So the fighter is currently operating under the code name Project L. We don't know what that'll end up being. We didn't get a whole lot of new information, but we do know it's still a ways off. So I'm not going to focus so much on that. We know it will be a fighting game using the League of Legends IP.
And it'll be a 2D fighter, which again is very important to us.
So
MGC
like
fans.
Marvel versus Capcom esque, is that what we're maybe envisioning?
Not
right
that,
now?
That fast. From what we saw, not that fast. Think Street Fighter V, that sort of speed. Okay. It won't be an anime fighter.
We also got to look at Project A, which is their new shooter game. It looks kind of like a hybrid of Counter-Strike and Overwatch. And there is a hero-based element to it. It's definitely a tactical shooter, Counter-Strike is.
Yes. What I've heard is that this is supposed to be a spiritual successor to Counter-Strike.
By the way, again, the
cojones
to go, you know what, we're going to make a spiritual successor to someone else's game that is still being played today.
The Stones.
Wow.
Valve had to feel some kind of way about that.
I would think so. Yeah. So this was actually the only announcement that it doesn't look like they're planning on using the League of Legends IP for. This looks like it's going to be something completely new.
Ooh,
out of
that's
them.
That's a tough one right there. Because, I mean, even as Nintendo has realized, even trying to plan their own game is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I think this is a huge undertaking, and everyone should really be paying attention to this, because if Riot has proven that they're good at nothing else, they're great at providing competitive atmospheres and balanced gameplay environments. Even if they don't always get it right, eventually they do end up settling on a meta that works.
And we've already seen a lot of people in the esports industry taking this very seriously. Ben Spoon came out and basically said, hey, if you guys are looking to take this seriously, top tier players, get in touch with me. I will pay your buyout. We are putting a juggernaut together for this game. That is some big talk.
I mean, for a game that looks like it is in pre-alpha. It doesn't even look like this is anywhere near ready for release. And, I mean, to have that sort of energy around it is pretty crazy. But there's two announcements here that I am very excited about. And Joe, you and I argued about this on the show before, which is, were we going to get Teamfight Tactics Mobile, yep, their sort of auto chess style game.
And we knew, League of Legends Mobile was in development. So, it was a question whether we would get one or the other.
We get both.
Wow.
A Riot again goes above and beyond the Call of Duty. They go above and beyond the Call of Duty and give us both of them. And I mean, again, the League of Legends one, it's Arena of Valor. If you've played Arena of Valor, they basically just took that and reskinned it for their game.
That's a very functional game, though. Wrong with that. That's pretty smart.
No, and there's no way they could have ported the PC experience to mobile or console and made it satisfying in any way. So this was the best way that they were able to do it.
So, interesting. Norris, I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Are you as concerned about your free time as I'm concerned about Teamfight Tactics
my
Mobile?
My life is over, bro. any split second of not having to actually interface with a human being. Oh yeah, bro. Teamfight Tactics is popping. I got my cord here at the desk. It's ready to roll. I got my
charger. Oh great! So he's going to be even more distracted when we're on the air now.
That's
what
right.
Else is but the real question is, when's it coming to Switch?
Ooh,
that's a good question, because there were console versions announced as well.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know when it's coming to Switch, but that's probably not something I would expect to see in the not too distant future.
They did say consoles.
Yes,
so maybe. So maybe
it's possible.
You would think if something like Overwatch and The Witcher 3 can run obviously with some issues and some down tuning, that League of Legends and by extension Teamfight Tactics should have no problem running on a console like that. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going over the League 10 year anniversary stream announcements. There were some huge announcements. In fact, last week we had talked a little bit about some of the leaks that had come out just ahead of this. Legends of Runeterra digital card game, trading card game.
It's going straight at Hearthstone's chest.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's a pretty big play considering the heels that Hearthstone is kind of on right now. There's a lot of drama in their community. It does seem like, strike while the iron's hot. This seems like a really good time to do it.
It is a shot right across the bow of both Hearthstone and Magic the Gathering Arena.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why, because now we're finding out that unlike most collectible card games, you will not be buying booster packs.
Nope.
Ooh. You will just be buying the cards that you want to use.
Interesting.
They have basically said there's no reason for someone to have to spend $150 every time a new set comes out. That's insane. And it literally is just a shot at Hearthstone to say, listen, no, buy the cards you want to buy. Just like League of Legends, there's going to be free-to-play options for earning the currency to buy cards.
I love it.
I do too.
I think that's phenomenal.
That also brings a lot of questions about balance into play now, because they're going to have to make sure that each card that they make has some sort of viability or use in the meta. Otherwise, you're just wasting resources to create.
But
those.
Again, as Nate said, if there's a group of people that I trust to make a balanced game right now, unfortunately, it is Riot.
Yeah. I need to talk about this next one because it made me laugh out loud. I thought it was a joke when I read it. Esports manager.
This is great.
Clearly taking a shot at EA and their football manager games. This one, I believe, and I may be mistaken on this one, it seems like this one is being released for the LPL region. This is a Chinese release.
It will be a Chinese release.
That isn't to say
EA doesn't make football manager. That's another studio. EA makes FIFA.
They do.
Which you can do some football manager type stuff in, but the game itself, football manager, made by another studio.
NFL football manager?
Oh, not the NFL. I'm thinking football.
I don't know if I don't know if that franchise is still running today. To be fair,
no, I don't think it
you
is.
You want to be European,
but the point is, obviously this is being released for China. I'm hoping, though, that they will do a North American release for this, but it does speak to how incredibly popular esports is overseas, both Korea and China.
Yeah, hands down. And that makes sense. You will actually make money off of those games in those two regions.
Yep.
In North America, maybe not so much. We're still kind of a little bit behind the curve. We're catching up very quickly, but I don't know that you would still get the same amount of appeal.
You're more likely to make money on fantasy esports here than you would be on like esports manager. I feel like I feel like the fantasy market is the play you want to make in North America. Yes.
Absolutely. They also announced the animated series, is, I think, pretty exciting. I had mentioned before last week on the show that, you know, I think this is really smart. All of the animated stuff that they've done before was excellent. The commercials, you know, all of the Worlds videos. So I'm excited to check that out.
Listen, I am over the moon for this series. It focuses on Zaun and Piltover, which are objectively
the best
two
cities.
Most interesting places in their world. Jinx and Vi, characters that have been immensely popular over the years. Jinx, my favorite character. Vi, my second favorite character. So I'm really thrilled about that. The animation, again, as I've come to expect from Riot, it will be top notch.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it, for
but
sure.
I'm watching it, too. But the big thing here is that Riot is making an announcement of an animated series, and Blizzard has yet to do that for Overwatch.
Right.
And
that is something on it.
That people have been clamoring for since Overwatch's launch.
I mean,
this if I am any of the studios that they went at, Valve, whatever, if I'm Blizzard, I was looking at that stream and I'm going, damn it.
Yeah. First of all, they beat us to it. And second of all, like, yeah, with the appeal, the amount of people who love those character reveal videos, the character background videos, like, you even have the assets. Why is this even a question?
Yeah.
The Overwatch, the series should have been on Disney XD long ago. But listen, we want to hear from you. Were you impressed with Riot's 10-year anniversary stream? What was your favorite announcement? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to get to know Mark Cooper. He's also known as Player One. He's a nerdcore rapper and the winner of MagWest Cypher this year. He's going to be here to talk about his new album, Ranger Raps. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we're going to check out GamesRadar's 20th Scariest Games of All Time. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Can you name the 20 scariest games of all time? Well, we've got Games Radar's list. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports WBSM 1340 AM in Florence, Alabama, and News Talk WGAC 580 and 95.1 in Augusta, Georgia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partner Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes. There's only one place to get them. It's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. It is October still, and we have the 20th scariest games of all. The 20th scariest games.
The 20th scariest games.
I think I've said that a few times now by accident, but we've got the 20 scariest games of all time, according to Games Radar.
All right, guys, so I'm going to let you go ahead and take a few guesses at what you might think might be appearing on this list. Robbie, you want to lead us off?
Now, I don't think the Control would be on there because it's still pretty new, but
you're
I'm going to go with its predecessor, Alan Wake.
Ooh, good call. Good call.
And Robbie, to your point, this list came out in, I believe, August of this year. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, you are correct, though. Alan Wake comes in at number 15 on this list, saying it isn't like most horror games. It doesn't trade in excessive gore, violence, or jump scares. In fact, it's not that scary on the whole, but its sense of place and character is second to none.
Yeah, and heavily influenced by
Twin Peaks.
And to be fair, X-Files. Like, a lot, lot of X-Files in there, too.
Oh, yeah, man, that city's called Bright Falls. They weren't even being subtle about it.
No, not even a little bit.
All right, Norris, what do you think might be appearing on this list?
P.T.
I know I've got to scroll down a ways for that one. P.T. is number 4 on this list.
Yeah, there we go.
Horrifying, that game. I only ever played it once, and I said, absolutely not. Never again.
A game that is literally just a teaser for the actual game that never came out, and it is still considered one of the scariest things ever created.
And you can no longer download it.
Nope. You cannot. And, of course, Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro working on that project together. Boy, I wish I could have seen that one come to fruition, Konami.
Konami.
Well, they're Guillermo will be in Death Stranding.
Yeah, but it's not. I don't think it's the same vibe.
Suppose.
Yeah. All right. So for me, Dead Space. This game terrified me when I was in college.
Yep. Dead Space comes in at number 10 on this list.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Saying if Resident Evil is the king of survival action horror, then Dead Space aimed to be the pretender to the throne.
I mean, it's body horror from one end to the other.
Yeah, borrowing from things like Alien and other sci-fi classics, Dead Space was utterly terrifying. It was. If you're okay with gore, it's probably not that scary, but it was a creepy game.
Well, speaking of Resident Evil, the last horror game that I actually played, let's go with Resident Evil 7.
All right, Resident Evil 7 comes in at number 1 on
Really?
You got number one.
GamesRadar considers Resident Evil 7 the scariest game of all time.
And they say it could have been a disaster, a clunky, forced update to a revered series that left fans clamoring for the bombastic nonsense of Resident Evil 6. Nope, never mind. Resi 7 was great.
I mean, they're not wrong, man. If you remember how bad RE4 was.
Ooh. No, 6.
Was it 6?
RE4 is a well-loved game.
RE5 and 6 were
I was thinking of 5.
Yeah, 5 and 6 are panned as awful games.
Yeah.
Norris?
Silent Hill 2.
Silent Hill 2, yeah.
That's a classic. That is an absolute classic.
Silent Hill 2 comes in at number 6 on this list.
I thought he'd at least be top 5.
No, it does come in at number 6. And you know what? Maybe it would be if they'd put out a new one. Unfortunately, we get pachinko machines.
Point taken.
All right. For me, I am going to guess Alien Isolation.
A little bit of an outlier,
but still, the tension in that game.
People talk great things about it, too.
There's no higher.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It is a bit of an outlier game, but not on this list. It's number 3 on this
list.
Not an outlier at all.
Nice.
I thought Alien Isolation was proof that you can do an Alien game well.
Yeah.
Finally.
Oh, totally.
We've only waited 20 years.
Yeah, they just make you helpless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going over Game Radar's 20 scariest games of all time.
All right, well, you know what? Speaking of feeling helpless, and the only horror game that I've ever finished... Outlast.
Yeah. Comes in at number 7 on this list.
All right.
Outlast.
All right.
And specifically the Whistleblower DLC, which I believe is one of the best horror things ever created. Yes, Outlast does make this list at number 7. You guys are doing good.
Guys,
you missed one yet.
I've exhausted all of my scary games at this point. So.
I got an old classic that I hope. How many? This is the most. How many games?
20th.
20th.
The 20th. All right. I'm going to say an old classic.
Stupid
Fatal
mouth.
Frame.
Ooh, Fatal Frame.
Yes, Fatal Frame 2 specifically is on this list.
Okay.
Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly is number 17 on this list.
Yeah.
Picking up on the tropes of Japanese horror and folklore that were made famous in The Ring and Yuan, the Fatal Frame series has always been unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I love the Fatal Frame series, by the way, so I thought it was a great addition.
So I believe it's producer Chad in our chat asking, and he's asking Slenderman, the game is actually Slender. Mm. So let's get some indie viability in here.
While there are some indie games on this list, Slender is not one of them.
Oh, that seems kind of criminal.
I think I got one. That's
all right.
A guess.
I have one. It's not a game that I've ever played, but Fear?
Yes. Fear, I believe, comes in at number 19 on this list. And I can't help but agree. Fear terrified me when I played that game. So I loved Fear a lot, and that's number 19.
Fear's, not only is Fear a great horror game, it's also just a great shooter.
It is. I mean, that was a popular game at LAN parties for a while.
Yeah.
Norris.
All right, I'm going to say this because it's something I saw you play, SCP Containment Breach.
Oh, good one.
Can I tell you how much I wish SCP Containment Breach was on here?
Oh, too bad.
I went too indie.
Yeah,
too
bad. It's not on here, but it's a great game.
I'm going to go with another one of producer Chad's favorites, Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight did not make this list.
What? It's not that scary.
Yeah, you're right. It's more like a multiplayer kind of
it's fun.
Versus game. Yeah, it's not
terrifying.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
That's true.
Robbie, over to you.
You know what? You had mentioned that 4 was a masterpiece. Resident Evil 4.
Oh, yeah. Resident Evil 4 comes in at number 11 on this list.
Surprising, because I didn't think 4 was that scary.
All right. We only got about 90 seconds left, so quickly.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
It is not on here. Let's run them down.
Let's do it.
Number 20, we got Lone Survivor, followed by number 19.
I don't know what Lone Survivor
indie game.
Is. Okay.
Number 19 is Fear. Number 18 was Condemned.
Condemned's great.
Mm-hmm. Number 17, Fatal Frame 2. 16 is Little Nightmares. Alan Wake at 15. Amnesia The Dark Descent at 14.
Yeah.
Until Dawn comes in at 13.
Ooh.
12 is Bloodborne. 11 is Resident Evil 4.
Bloodborne qualifies? Interesting.
Good. You guys, I thought, did really well in the top 10. You got Dead Space at 10. Soma came in at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Until Dawn's Rush of Blood came in at 8. Outlast was number 7. Silent Hill 2 at 6. And the top 5 are Resident Evil 2 Remake, PT, Alien Isolation, Layers of Fear comes in at number 2, and number 1 was Resident Evil 7.
Layers of Fear? That's not even a name that I know.
It's an amazing game.
All right, listen, we want to hear from you. What game did we not guess? What were you screaming at your radio the entire time that's on this list that we did not guess? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram, and let us know. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to get to know nerdcore rapper and winner of the Mag West Cypher, Mark Cooper, Player One, joins us next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Mark Cooper, also known as Player One, joins us here in just a moment on Checkpoint XP. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Joining us now in the studio is Mark Cooper. He's a rapper and performing artist. He was the winner out at Mag West Cypher. Mark, welcome to Checkpoint XP.
Pleasure, man. Really great to be here. Thank you.
We appreciate some of your time. So obviously, a lot of your inspiration comes from, you know, like geek and nerd culture. What do you consider to be things that influence your music the most?
Well, to be honest, nostalgia will probably be the best way of going about it. Like, I'm definitely the 80s kid, like from the T-1000s to the John Rambo. Then I'll come out of nowhere with Julia White and Gargoyles. And then I'll venture off into from DuckTales to Reboot to VR Troopers. I'm all over the place, man.
I love that I just heard the words Reboot and VR Troopers on our show.
And Gargoyles?
Yeah,
come on.
Gargoyles amazing.
It's amazing. So do you embrace the label of nerdcore? Is that like the genre that you consider yourself?
Yes, I do.
Because there's some, you know, artists that kind of operate in this lane that kind of don't want to be lumped in with nerdcore for some reason. And I don't get it, because as far as I'm concerned, if you're making nerdy references in your music, you are a part of nerdcore.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you perform at a lot of conventions. What is it about the convention atmosphere that you enjoy performing for?
Well, the reason why I like the convention is that it's the most masses of individuals that's like-minded with me. When I performed YumaCon for the first time, it was an overwhelming experience because nerds would be like, hey, I've heard nerdcore before, but I haven't heard artists I really like yet. And, you know, also not even trying to bring in the stereotype, you don't really see a lot of African-American artists that are proud of their nerddom.
Yeah.
So for me, being able to be a staple for it, and we're in Detroit.
Yeah.
So, you know, me saying like, hey, you see that new Magneto comic? They look at you like, no.
No, I think that's a really interesting thing, man, because I experienced some of the same things, especially in my late teens, early 20s and stuff, where, you know, you make these weird, obscure references that aren't obscure to you or your little social group,
right,
but are obscure to everybody else. And I definitely think, you know, I can only think of a handful of artists, yourself, Mega Ran, even like I'll put Lupe in there.
Yep.
Like, those are just really a handful of guys who can do that kind of stuff and make it palatable and make it enjoyable. But I want to talk about Mag West right quick.
Yeah, sure.
That was dope.
Thanks.
I watched the video. Awesome. I was very heartened and emboldened by your talent, especially coming from the D as a native myself.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
What was that experience like at Mag West?
Well, Mag West, first time there, that's just like kind of like the big hoona of shows I've ever done. And overall, it's like the first time I actually been in an area where there was musicians that were nerdy and we were all in the same collective. Everybody was, you know, open arms, everybody sharing what they need to do. People came out to support. And it was just overall amazing experience. Got a chance to perform with it. And even got a chance to do the cipher portion of it that I was, you know, surprised to get into. And it was, you know, really hyped.
Yo, keep it 100. You can see it as a dollar bill. With a weed controller, know I have to come with kill. By Costco, I'm guaranteed I'm going to get the money. And people who got cell phones, they probably think I'm funny. Yeah, I see the business card he holding up. And don't forget about the advanced game showing up. I don't know where he went. Oh, he put the Midoriya. And guaranteed the Detroit smash into all of you.
And you ended up winning.
Yeah.
Was that your first like MagFest or anything?
Yes.
With Mag?
Yes.
Wow.
I really love that concert series. Like, I've said it for years. It's grassroots, the you know, clashing of convention culture and you know, these big festivals that we see. It's kind of like somewhere right in the middle, but yeah, you can kind of tell that it's, you know, born from nerds, right? Like, it's not some like corporate like thought out thing.
Exactly.
So I've thought so highly of what, you know, Music and Gaming Fest does every year.
Well, I mean, and it seems like kind of what, Mark, you were talking about. You don't have to go there and first convince everyone that it's worth talking about,
right,
worth performing about. Everyone's there to see it. They're already on board.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, this next thing I really have to ask about, because growing up, I can remember all the way back to kindergarten up through like fourth and fifth grade, I would not just get made fun of, I would get beat up for liking Power Rangers. That was like my big sort of thing back then. And you actually have a new album out called Ranger Rap.
Yeah.
And it's an EP of Power Rangers themed music. Can you tell us about that project?
Well, you're actually going to like this. It's actually funny. I went to Michigan Comic Con recently this year because I was doing a panel, and I ran to Walter Jones because he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They went to Central.
Y'all didn't know that. So, I didn't know that either. I went to Central.
We're both Central alum.
Central University.
Oh.
Central High.
Oh. Central High. All right.
Oh, our bad.
Oh, my
bad.
We both graduated. Well, I graduated. He didn't. We both went to Central Michigan University.
I was caught up in the moment.
Anyone who says Central, that's where our minds immediately go.
No. Central High School.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not Central High. Yeah, so when I got a chance to meet up with him, he had his family there, like his mom and dad or whatever. And I say, look, I'm a huge fan, things like that. Because, you know, I've already met, you know, JDF, of course, you know, mm-hmm. the GOAT. And then I met Austin St. John and Jason Flan and a couple other people. And the cool thing was, I was like, you know, I thought about doing some music like that for Power Rangers because I always, you know, wanted to do Morphicon.
Yeah.
So they hit me on the spot and said, okay, let's hear what you got right now. And, I was like, yeah, I do have some stuff, you know, just kind of working out. So, okay, cool. So I got a chance to talk to with Walter a little bit, and I said, you know, I wanted to come out with a project with it. So the next day, I finished that whole Ranger project in a week.
Wow.
You feel the power trip I'm on. Yeah, they call me Trini Kron. I was called to save the earth. To the day that I am gone, I'm coming with the power dagger. So you know it's two for one. When it comes to evil monsters, I will show you I was done. Power saber, two tiger. High spirits like choirs. On the spot like MacGyver. Full of honor, no liars. Putting in all-nighters. Take flights like gliders. I've been putting in work. You're gonna brace that fire. My skills are legitimate.
I'll show you. When the Rangers ask you to throw something down, you throw something
down.
Throw
it down. Exactly.
By the way, that is available now on Spotify from Titan Records. Make sure you check it out. Again, it's called Ranger Raps, the new EP from Mark Cooper. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Mark Cooper talking about his career and his brand new album. I got to ask, though, what games have you been playing recently? I mean, this is a gaming show. So what have you been playing lately?
Well, I recently got into, you know, I'm a shooters person. So I'm in World War Z. I just got Gears 5 the other day. So I've been playing that. I'm not necessarily in the era of the Fortnites and the Apex and things like that.
Fair enough.
Because it requires a certain amount of time. That way, you know, if you're going to play something competitive, you got to go all in.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you don't,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, you also have to pick your platforms.
Yeah.
I'm a fighting game person, like on the side, so I play my Tekkens and Street Fighters.
Because obviously.
dude. All about the frame data, yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what's up. So, Gears 5, there's a lot of talk about it. They're trying to make the multiplayer competitive. Do you think that has any viability?
I don't know this around this era. Like Gears 2 and 3 were very, you know, where they needed to be. That's where a lot of the, you know, the really driven, you know, third-person shooters were really coming in.
Yeah.
Like to compete with Halo and the Call of Duties. But to be honest, there's so many fighting, you know, so many shooters in first-person and things like that.
Yeah.
It could succeed, but at the same time, it could fall behind. But it just really depends on what, you know, how they market it and things like that. But the gameplay is really smooth this time. So, you know what I mean? So I can, you know, anything can happen for the competitivism. You know, it's just really, if the fans are really driving towards it and everything. So
nice.
Yeah.
So what's coming up, you know, release wise that has you excited?
Of course, you know, the Cyberpunk, I'm excited.
Oh,
yes. Wait.
Tell me about it, man.
Keanu Reeves, you know. shockingly, Dying Light 2 is actually on my list.
Thank you. Robbie's deep in the Dying Light, man.
Oh, when I saw it at E3, I got to see like a short video of it, and Dying Light 1 was good, but man, I feel like 2, they've really, really flipped it, man. It's going to be so cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. You know what I mean? I can't wait for that, and I'm worried about Halo 6.
Uh-oh.
I really am.
Yeah, but, we keep hearing like the reports coming out about, you know, people leaving the project, and now they're kind of getting defensive about whether or not there's some creative difficulties going on
with the Bungie and the 343.
Yeah, I'm nervous about it.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. So you're going to be performing at YomaCon here in Detroit. It's going to be, I'm sure, an amazing show. Tell fans what they can expect.
Well, the best thing you expect is a player one experience. Expect like you're, you know, going into a different room, being in part of the game, being part of the show. And that's the best way to go about it.
That's what's up. Player One, a.k.a. Mark Cooper, has been joining us here on Checkpoint XP. Mark, man, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Mark for his time. For full interviews, make sure you check him out over at our website, checkpointxp.com. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And of course, my co-hosts who bowl double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.